Based on Reverend Adam Hamilton's book, Half Truth, we are examining five statements that many Christians often use and assume to be biblical. Here are the statements once again. Everything happens for a reason. God helps those who help themselves. God won't give you more than you can handle. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Love the sinner, hate the sin. Here's the thing. They all sound right and appear as though they could come from Scripture. However, none of these statements I just read are found in the Bible. At best, they are half-truths, which do more harm than good. Regardless of the good intentions of those, repeat them to other people. Last Sunday, we looked at the first of the five statements. Today, we will consider the second statement. God helps those who help themselves. We've all heard people saying this, haven't we? You may have been the one saying this to someone, thinking that it was a biblical truth. If you did, you are not alone. According to a Barna study, which was conducted 5 years ago, 52% of practicing Christians who were polled strongly believed that the Bible teaches that God helps those who help themselves. It is a view so prevalent and widespread that it would seem people believe it to be one of the Ten Commandments. That's true. I'm not just making it up. So if it is not to be found in the Bible, where did this popular phrase come from? According to Wikipedia, the phrase originated in ancient Greece and is thought to have been proverbial. It is illustrated by two of Aesop's fables, and this self-help sentiment is found in ancient Greek drama. Here in America, it most likely became popular through Benjamin Franklin. His almanac titled Poor Richard's Almanac, which began to be published yearly in the 18th century. God helps those who help themselves sounds biblical because it bears a certain degree of truth. For instance, if you have an exam, you know that you cannot just pray and expect that you would know somehow all the right answers. You have to study and be prepared for the test like everyone else. When you are hungry, you know that you cannot just pray and expect food to just appear out of nowhere onto your plate. Ta-da! You have to do something about your hunger, either by going out to buy food or cooking for yourself. And when you are looking for a job, you cannot just pray and expect a job opportunity to magically present itself. You have to put in some effort. You prepare a resume, make a profile on job boards, submit an application, and go in for an interview. This is to say, we must not only pray, but also work towards our goals, whatever they may be. It would be fantastic if I just could just pray for an inspiring sermon and have God magically place the right words into my mouth when I get up here to preach. But I know it doesn't work that way. Our choir members, they do not just show up on Sunday expecting to sing a beautiful anthem like the one they just sang. They meet every Thursday night and also on Sunday morning before the service for their rehearsals. Our organist, Shine, spends many hours on the organ and piano so she can provide beautiful music for our worship service every Sunday. We Christians are not called to just sit and wait for God's miracles to appear. God has endowed each one of us with certain physical and mental abilities and various gifts, and it is up to us to put them to good use. The Apostle Paul addressed this same issue in his second letter to Thessalonians. Paul had taught the new Christians in Thessalonia to trust in Jesus, but unfortunately, they took this teaching too literally. They quit their jobs because they thought Jesus was returning soon, and they thought that God would provide for them. When Paul heard about this, he wrote to them with these words. Let us hear. Even when we were with you, we were giving you this command. If anyone does not want to work, they should not eat. We hear that some of you are living an undisciplined life. They are not working, but they are meddling in other people's business. By the Lord Jesus Christ, we command and encourage such people to work quietly and put their own food on the table. Yes, God answers our prayers. God helps us and provides for us, but God's help and provision does not free us from the responsibility of doing our part. We pray and we work. Our faith moves us into action while we trust in God. Perhaps you have heard the story of the man who was caught in a flood. With the water levels rising, a town was told to evacuate. But he did not heed the warning, saying he believed God would answer his prayers and rescue him. Later, some people on a boat came by asking if he needed some assistance, to which he said, "No, I am not leaving. God will save me." As the floodwaters rose higher and higher, it forced him onto the roof of his house. There, a helicopter spotted him and lowered a rope for him to climb up to safety. But he still refused to leave his house. He firmly believed God would be the one to save him. Eventually, the man was swept off his roof and drowned in the water. When he got to heaven, the man asked, "God, why didn't you save me?" God replied, "Didn't you see the boat and helicopter I sent to save you? What else could I have done?" Surely God answers our prayers and helps us, and God's help comes through the hands and feet of God's people. We pray for healing, and God heals us through medical professionals God works through their knowledge and their training and their skills. But in order to receive the healing, we need to do our part, like going to see a doctor to receive treatment and taking the medications that are prescribed. We pray for the ministries of our church, and we show up to help. We pray for the financial health of our church, and we give generously. We pray for the hungry, and we give them food. We pray for the incarcerated, and we visit them in prison. We pray for the marginalized, and we speak up for them, standing with them in solidarity. We pray for transformative social change, and we engage ourselves in action that create such change. That's what some of our church members did yesterday. There was a group from our church that attended the Women's March in San Jose, maybe somewhere else too, joined by thousands of other women and also men, both young and old, of different ethnicities and languages. We marched together in order to dismantle systems of oppression through nonviolent resistance and to build inclusive structures guided by self-determination, dignity, and respect. These particular words are from the mission statement of Women's March from its website. So far, we talked about how the idea that God helps those who help themselves bears some truth. Now, let's turn to examine how it is biblically untrue. First, there are people in our society who truly cannot help themselves. Those who are trapped in intergenerational poverty, those without legal resources based on their immigration status, those who cannot stand up for themselves. It would be cruel to say that God only helps those who help themselves. In fact, the scriptures reveal the exact opposite. God consistently calls us to have special concern for the most vulnerable members of our society and share what we have with them. Here are some of the scripture passages that reflect God's special concern for the poor, the sick, and the disenfranchised. Let us hear those scriptures. When you harvest your land's produce, you must not harvest all the way to the edge of your field, and don't gather every remaining bit of your harvest. Leave these items for the poor and the immigrant. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 22. Do not steal from the poor because they are poor. Do not oppress the needy in the court. The Lord will take up their case and press the life out of those who oppress them. Proverbs chapter 22, verses 22 and 23. If you open your heart to the hungry and provide abundantly for those who are afflicted, your light will shine in the darkness and your gloom will be like the noon. From Isaiah chapter 58. The Lord proclaims, "Do what is just and right. Rescue the oppressed from the power of the oppressor. Don't exploit or mistreat the refugee, the orphan, and the widow. Don't spill the blood of the innocent in this place." Jeremiah chapter 22. O Lord, you will hear the desire of the meek. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear to do justice for the orphan and the oppressed. Psalm chapter 10. Psalm 10, verses 17 and 18. Clearly, these are just some of many, many scriptures in the Bible. And what these scriptures reveal is the reality that God comes to the aid of those who are at life's margins. And God's help, which meets their needs, comes through people. Other people, those who hear the command to do what is just and right and open their hearts to the plight of those suffering around them. What is made clear is that we cannot simply say God helps those who help themselves and abdicate our responsibilities as God's people to care for the poor and suffering in our midst. When we respond to the needs of those who cannot help themselves, with food, clothes, blankets, and shelter, and any other forms of protection and care, we become the hands and feet of God's love and compassion. We become God's help for them. So here is one more reason why the popular saying, God helps those who help themselves, cannot be true. In the Bible, God consistently saves, rescues, and helps people who have made a mess of their lives and fallen into deep despair. God does not abandon those who cannot help themselves. God does the opposite. God is the God of the hopelessness. God walks with us through our darkest valleys. God brings light into our darkness and most shameful past in present. God brings peace even today in this time of great anxiety and despair. It is upon this assurance that the psalmist sang out to God, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. God's divine help comes to us even though we do not deserve it. This divine mercy is extended to all of us. It's called grace. It is the unconditional love of God and the unmerited favor of God and the undeserved work of God in our lives, seeking us out even when we are yet strangers. And this is not something that we must earn or work for. This concept of grace is central to the Christian faith and gospel. And the essence of this good news is that God helps and God is for those who cannot help themselves. There may be times when you can help yourself through your own strength and resources. But there will be times when you simply cannot help yourself. There will be situations in all of our lives that make it manifestly clear that we are not in control, that we cannot simply choose to save ourselves, no matter how hard we try. It is in these inevitable moments that we know the untruth of the phrase, God helps those who help themselves. For it is as children we cry out to God, like the psalmist whose words we have today. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. He reached down from on high. He took me. He drew me out of the mighty waters. My friends, when we are at our worst, at our weakest, and at our most vulnerable, it is God who reaches out and picks us up and saying to us, I'm here with you. I love you, no matter what. The American theologian Paul Tillich described such immeasurable grace in these terms. Grace strikes us when we are in great pain and restlessness. It strikes us when we walk through the dark valley of meaningless and empty life. It strikes us when our disgust for our own being, our indifference, our weakness, our hostility, and our lack of direction and composure have become intolerable to us. It strikes us when year after year, the longed-for perfection of life does not appear, when the old compulsions reign within us as they have for decades, when despair destroys all joy and courage. Sometimes at that moment, a wave of light breaks into our darkness, and it is as though a voice were saying, you are accepted. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. God's great and enduring mercy, love, and grace, which helps those who cannot help themselves. May we recognize that this includes us all, even and perhaps especially people like you and me. Amen.